What's up, everybody? Dear Albie, this is show two at Studio B, Berkeley. We've got Urbano here again, returning.
Hi.
Urbano's back, and you might recognize that laugh. It's been a while since you've been on, my dear. My girlfriend Chelsea's back on.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
Great.
This is, you know, we've got a couple questions to get to, okay? But there are a number of different things that I want to kind of address for the community at large, but a couple of things. This is our first show ever as roommates, Chels and I.
It is.
And we're really, what, a couple of weeks?
This Sunday will be our 1 month.
So, that went very quick.
It went really quick. I was thinking that the other day.
And we have, I have to assume, and Urbano, maybe you can back me up here. I have to assume I am a nightmare to date in general, but especially to live with, in this context especially, and I'll tell you why. And I don't know if I brought this up on the show before. The way, do you want to explain how the lease signing and the apartment hunting went down?
Listen, I think at the end of the day, you're an amazing boyfriend, so you're just fishing for compliments there.
No,
I love you,
listen.
But the only thing I would complain about is put your clothes in the hamper. Otherwise, you're good.
Well, wait, are you talking about today? There was no hamper there. The hamper was gone.
I knew he was going to say that too, because I walked in and I was like, oh, I left the hamper by the front door because, you know, we have a laundry room that's in our apartment. And I was like, the hamper's there. So I was like, okay, the clothes will probably not be in it, obviously, because it's by the front door. And they weren't. But that's honestly my only complaint. I have no complaints. You're awesome to live with.
But I think the looking at the apartment thing.
You can explain that.
I didn't necessarily, you know, we've been very busy as around those. I didn't necessarily have time to go. Chels called, sounded really excited. I said, great, sign a lease, and hung up the phone. And I didn't realize how insanely insensitive that was. I thought I was doing a good thing. I was like, no, this is great. She's going to be so excited.
Yeah,
did you think I was the biggest ass ever?
No, a part of me was just like, oh, he may not be as excited as I am, so maybe he doesn't like it based on the pictures and stuff, because the only thing I really sent him was pictures, so I don't know. But I know you're busy, so at the end of the day, if something makes me happy, I think it's going to make you happy. I don't think I make decisions that that's going to be something you're not interested in, you know?
We're very domestic. and we have, so we get, Urbano has a room.
I do.
We were talking about having you go see it tonight, and we were podcasting instead at the hotel instead of going in.
Exactly.
Well, it's still on the table. The dinner invite's still there.
Thank you.
But
the oars are still on the wall, so if you want them.
And then the whores will be in the room, so then we're even.
Everything
it was so
very
nautical when we moved in. Oh, my gosh. I'm not a nautical person at all.
Very beach forward.
I'm a seaman lover, but not nautical.
That's what I said. I said to you, I was like, you know, it's very, I said, I think we should keep this because Urbano's going to want to stay, and it's a seaman theme. But I was like, that joke is raunchy. I won't make it. But anyway, here we are.
No.
To the community at large, couple of things, okay? Number one, twice a week shows are going to be coming back. Very exciting. And you know, I was like waiting to hear a cheer just now in my ears. But
the crowd goes wild.
That's number one. Number two, the regular crew is still very much going to be a part of the show. Jules is going to be coming down. I'm going to be going up. I'm going to try
and
split
the only
time.
Person who hasn't visited the Berkeley.
Jules has not visited the Berkeley.
Jules, this is a call out.
I've got a little bit of a beef with that. Jules is actually going to jump out on the haunted house, which so we went today. We went today. We had a big meeting. I'm not going to say where.
Super cool store.
Talking about building out the haunted house. It looks incredible. The stuff is still up there. The haunting at the hauntingasbury.com. I'm not joking. This is going to sell out.
Yes.
I keep saying it. We sold out our first day today. One of the first days are gone.
That's great. And wait till the ghosts get involved.
Yeah, I know. And like the real things that are.
Yeah,
like,
no,
you know,
there's super duper real ghosts.
Yeah,
here.
Besides the like paid actors that may
be
involved. There's
real
shit going on here. This is my first time cursing, I think, on the podcast, but there's real shit. That's how you know it's real. Yeah.
So we were very pumped up to kind of get this thing going. And we had a couple of meetings today, and Jules is like going to help us out. She's like, do you want to come down? Now, I didn't want to make Jules meet us all the way in the city, and it's kind of nuts. Like I still feel like the city's 30 minutes away. It's definitely not. And we've been talking about it. Jules is actually going to help us on the haunted house thing. We're going to probably do a Dear Albie live show. We're probably going to do a live ghost hunt. We're going to recreate the ghost hunt episode of last year live here. I have no idea what day it is, guys. It's going to come out. It'll probably be it'll be before Halloween. But we are going to have a live Dear Albie episode here at the Berkeley. We will be selling, like, you know, tickets to the whole thing just to make sure we get the distancing down because, you know, we're big on that.
Yes.
But a lot of stuff going on. But the regular crew, it is not going to stop. We will be I will be splitting my time up there and down here. This is all about getting you guys more shows. Number one. Number two. Abana, people liked you, man.
Oh,
they like Brie too, but I don't, you know, I had a problem with her microphone. We're dealing with new mics now.
I didn't see any of the comments to people. Were people
happy?
I hated
my voice. I got to tell you, I listened.
Honestly, you and Brie, even though you think both, you know, maybe the mics were off, you guys have very nice voices. But I said to Al earlier, I don't think he's ever had anybody on that had a not beautiful speaking voice.
Well, I mean, I think a couple of things. Number one,
or soothing, maybe not beautiful. Yeah. Just like
I'm kind of weirded out because one of the first things that Chell said when she walked into the room, she said, "Urbano, would you? How did you phrase it? Would you sleep with a girl if you were bored or something like that?"
Oh,
what
my God. Okay, we're getting there. Okay.
No, we are.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Yes,
we're back. Yeah, I
don't have sex
him.
Often, and so we were talking about the last time I had sex, and Chelsea said,
"I said." If, you know, you're bored and it's been a little bit with a man, would you ever sleep with a woman? Just because a hole's a hole.
Well, any hole is a goal, right? To quote Aquaria.
No, that's so messed up. That's not me, but that's, you know, that's kind of like, it's, I don't know. Go on, Urbano.
I don't know. You know.
Well,
I
you were very direct and you said yes.
I did say the reason
I'm bringing it up is I'm like, the second you said yes, Chelsea's been so insanely complimentary of Urbano. Every little thing. Your voice is so fantastic.
I know.
Have you been losing weight?
Oh, no. Albie, I'm
I did
a
get a
one
chub
girl,
one day with
man.
No,
I'm just
Chels
saying.
Chels gave me a hug and I gave a chub and I told her, I said, Chels, you gave me a chub.
I'm just
so
saying.
It's true.
Albie, I'm all you.
I'm just saying. I just like
Urbano's
you know, like,
very handsome, though. Everybody, check him out.
That's very, very kind of you. Thank you. But
we had a couple of people asking for pictures of what you look like. I had to decide whether or not I actually wanted to share the ones I have on my phone. He's not wearing clothes in, well, like traditional clothes.
Did the results come in about like the questions that you guys asked on the last podcast? I was walking today and I listened.
It was STD. I was like,
one,
oh my God.
No, didn't
like,
you guys ask some questions about Urbano and Brie and like
our age,
their ages and things like that?
Oh, you know what? I have to look. This is where Jules comes in.
Jules,
I'm sure they did.
We need you. Girl, we need you.
No, that much has been very, very clear. But we are going to get into some questions. We are going to get Jules at the Berkeley finally. Which is going to be a show in and of itself. I'm going to try very hard. I think I addressed this on one of the podcasts that I have one other intern. Well, Jules is now a little longer an intern. My second intern was around during the summer, and I'm hoping he will return for winter for be on the podcast.
Why do I not know about
so
this
intern Jules intern. Was promoted to Boss Lady Jules because she's partnered now into the podcast. Now, she was replaced by the only other intern I've ever had, which is intern Owen.
Oh wow.
Now, we're going there.
Intern Owen.
Poor Owen.
Intern Owen is Chelsea's sister's boyfriend, who is just fantastic. And I'm trying very hard also to have, I'm going to try and set up some kind of interview between Jules and Owen to see how that goes. Very different opposite
ends. I think
we
should set up like a sexy photo shoot for Owen. Like we should lay him out on like a super shag carpet and just like.
My sister's 3-year anniversary with him is this weekend. She went to go visit him.
They're so young. How did that go?
I'm not sure. I talk to her not so regularly because she's in college. She wants to do her thing. But I think it went well. She flew to Michigan to go see him. They're having the time of their life. They're young. You know, it's 3 years is crazy. Like, that's crazy for young kids.
For young kids, it's pretty nuts.
The eighth of their life. What are they, 20?
They're not even 20. I think Augusta's 19. I don't even know my sister's age, which is horrible. Love you, Gus, but I think she's 18 or 19.
Gus is 18.
She drives.
That's like an 8, no? I don't even know.
Anyway, we're going to get into the question, but we're gonna have Owen on. Owen's fantastic. Bit of a burn-up, but fantastic. I've got the best stories ever.
Owen and Urbano definitely have.
I taught Owen how to sweep.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to sweep.
Girl, you got to grab that wood and fucking make it work. Sorry.
So, this came in. It says, anonymous, please. Subject, friend-zoned or complicated. It's quite long. Dear Albie, I have had a flirtationship all through college with a guy. Are you familiar with the term flirtation?
That's a good fucking word.
You jumped back when I said
did.
That.
I was, girl, I love that flirtation.
I have had a flirtation all through college with a guy. And I don't know if it's quarantine brain or what, but every time we talk, it feels like it ends up being a flirtatious conversation.
Did she really say talks?
She said talks. I'm reading verbatim.
Oh, okay.
And I also don't, I don't read in advance.
Okay, keep going. Continue.
I just roll with it. It started my freshman year. He was a junior. We would always text, tease each other, and got along very well. Then at the end of the year, we went to the same party, at the Brownstone, by the way, and I met your dad. He was great. I went with a different guy. He went solo. There were drinks, dancing, and a good time. I go back to my hotel room, and he keeps texting me to join him. I go to his room. We start hooking up, and then the tiny voice inside my head made me stop. I knew I was more sober than him, and I was staying at the hotel with another guy.
Yes.
A scandal.
I end the hookup and go back to my room. He drives me home the next day, but we do not discuss what happened the night before. A couple of days later, I do bring it up. I explain what my reservations were and how in a different situation I would have gone through with it. But we were at a bit of a roadblock because I was due to study abroad the next semester and it would be hard to start a relationship. It was decided that the hookup would be silly and to leave things be. We keep talking through the summer. Then while I'm away, he gets a new girlfriend. I come home the next semester, and I try to avoid him to not get in the way of the relationship. This was very difficult. We run through the same circles, and we were in a club together. I couldn't help but feel there was tension, sexual and general awkwardness, every time we had to interact. He graduates that spring, still with his girlfriend. I was dating another guy who he introduced me to, and I assumed that would be the end of our relationship. The summer I break off from my date, and the next semester, he keeps coming around for his girlfriend, and we keep running into each other. Eventually, he breaks up with his girlfriend, and sometimes later, we fall into the same pattern of flirting slash tension. That spring, I did a Disney college program, and we keep talking, but again, so far apart that there was no real chance of a relationship forming. That spring, he asked me out to another party, but I would still be on my internship, so I had to turn him down. How many internships is this girl?
How many years
this
is this?
This is a long time.
Jesus.
Once
this
again.
Lives seven lives, once and she's
again,
only in college still.
Very long. Once again, I thought that was the final nail. That summer, I was away with some friends, got a bit drunk, and ended up calling and reaming into him about all of the games he's played and how unfair the back and forth has been. That's a separate conversation we're going to get into before this is over. I'm going to highlight this as a topic.
This is
as if I was
Jules. Because Jules highlights everything.
Yes, she does.
She highlights. He highlighted in yellow. I mean, in red. Jules,
yeah, no,
you highlighted in yellow.
Yeah, no, she's way ahead of me. After that, I stopped talking to him for some time. Then quarantine happens, and we start talking again. He has a new girlfriend, but again, I can't help but feel there is tension and awkwardness every time we interact as friends. I don't want to lose the friendship, but the games are getting hard to keep playing. I don't think it's fair to myself or the other girls. Was it just a really bad case of sexual tension? Was I a hardcore friend zone and didn't know it? Our opposite paths just seem too difficult to try and be serious. Or did our opposite path just make it too difficult to be serious? Sincerely, my quarantine brain.
Girl, read a book. Yeah. Volunteer. It's just too much.
Well, she seems to have a lot going on. What do you mean too much? She's got a lot of distractions.
So much
at least
energy.
Internships.
Listen, when you made out, he must have had a big dick because she was in from the first fondle.
She left the room.
But who did she drive back with? There's just so much.
Yeah,
it's
she
so
said
convoluted.
She drove back with him, but she said she went to the wedding with another person. So we're going to start early at the Brownstone, by the way.
They said the same party. And it was a party at the Brownstone, and they looked like it was her freshman year, his junior year. They were at the same party. So let's assume it was a birthday. They go, and she's in the room with another guy.
Yeah.
And goes to his room. Now, there's a million questions right there. But at that point, you made your decision. You know what I mean?
Just do it. Either you do it or you don't.
Like, yeah, like if you're going to halfway just like hook up with somebody and leave, then did you go back to the other guy and hook up with him too? Like, that's weird.
Well, there's a question like, there that you have to look at. But I mean, like, taking that aside, right? It's about this one person you're driving home with him the next day. If I am the other guy and there's any kind
of. Maybe you just went with him as friends, though.
Well, yeah, she but they're saying, really no, no. She's that. Saying, no, I went with the guy. I went with a different guy. Yeah. He went solo. There are drinks, dancing, and a good time. I go back to my room. He keeps texting me to join him. So I go. What
in
the world?
The other guy, like, passed out drunk, though? Like, how has that happened that it's like, hey, I'm going to go to get some coffee downstairs? Like, how do you make that?
It seems as if she likes this guy, and she's too invested. So either you have to just tell him.
Friends.
Yeah, you have to just tell him.
She said, I don't want to lose the friendship. This isn't a friendship.
It's not a friendship.
Yeah, not at all.
Because if you were friends, you'd be cool with the fact that he was fucking other girls, and you could just be cool.
You can't have this sexual tension with a friend.
Well, you can.
Like, that's not. But.
But you have to be honest about it. No, you have to be honest. Either you're going to fuck or you're not. I've had friends before and it's like, listen, I need to know how to look at you. Do I look at you like sex or do I look at you like just someone that I care about? Because you could turn the lens. It may take some time. It may take some practice. But she has to decide which way she wants to go.
And it's usually one-sided.
Yeah, you gotta pick a lane.
She gotta pick a lane.
No, yeah. And you know what? You're also look when she says I don't want to lose the friendship. I will be honest. It doesn't seem like when she's like it's flirty, whatever. I don't know how deep these conversations go.
Yeah,
but if you've got that vibe, here's a general rule. Okay, I don't believe in such a thing as a guy just wanting to be your friend. I think there are situations where guys and girls can be friends.
Yes.
But I don't think it's the driving factor in things. They're usually, you either met without, like when there's a genuine guy-girl friendship, there's a million different reasons why that can happen, right? But in a situation like this, the second there's even a little bit of a, oh, hey, we made up before, you're not going back down that
there's
path.
There's never friends, is especially why I said it's not a friendship.
Unless there was no chemistry. If there was chemistry.
They made out.
Yeah.
Like once you make out with somebody, I feel like there's just absolutely no chance of their saying that it ever started as a friendship, and that's where I think Al's trying to go.
It's I gave Urbana the headphones.
Why
to just kind of experience.
Yeah, why did you do that?
Watch, you'll see. It's gonna change. It's gonna change how he talks.
Yeah.
Watch now. Watch go up high.
Yeah.
Now look at Chelsea and talk.
Hi, Chelsea.
See,
hey.
See what I mean? Like now
I don't
you know
hear
it
my
is.
Voice.
Well, I mean, I
get it.
I think you get into it. But here's the thing: when you're talking to someone, and it reaches the point of flirtationship and whatever. You're never
such a good word.
You're
though.
Never
if
at
I
that
take
point.
Anything from this email, it's flirtationship.
I remember I had heard that for the first time in a Dear Albie email too. It made me feel old because it was like, oh my god.
But she should send like titty pics. If she sent her tits
to the guy,
like, no, to us. I think we can facilitate her moving on from this guy. I think that's the best thing for her.
Well, you know what it is? I'll tell you the truth. When I read this.
So wait, they said they made out though. Maybe there's sexual tension
not,
there because
so
they've
much
never
going on.
Actually had sex.
Yeah, but
so maybe it's just like the always guessing of like if something could be a little more and they never had more. You never know.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of unanswered.
Really quick. When you look at the actual, when you always break it down to the question, right? And you look at this and say, I don't want to lose the friendship. I don't think the guy's in it for a friendship. That's first.
I don't think she's in it
she's
for a friendship.
She's not in for a friendship either. Yeah.
Because she says she called him and reamed him out. If you're a friend,
yeah, right.
You don't call me drunk.
And we're getting
about,
to that part. Yeah. We're going to get to that part. But the games are getting hard to keep playing. You might be the only one playing this game. If he's flirting with you, even if he's with somebody or not, he might be acting like a guy.
Plus, he's a guy. We have no clue, bro. Like, we for real have no clue. You show us a tit, we have no idea what to do.
You do have to teach. Like, if you want something, you have to make it known.
Yeah.
And this girl sounds like, hey, whether or not she thinks he's playing games, at the end of the day, it sounds like a whole type of monopoly life, whatever the other games are. Like, she's playing that game, too, because she's not expressing what she wants. She's only expressing it over this email. And she's definitely not said anything to him that's like, listen, I want you, I want this to happen.
She seems as if she's waiting for him to do it. Exactly. She might be really pretty. Usually really pretty girls are like that. They kind of wait and the wait and the cut. And they're like, but I'm the prettiest girl in the room. Why are you not talking to me? So she could be a super pretty girl and think that she's prettier than all these other girls.
She keeps bringing up that tension, the sexual tension. There's only sexual tension when both parties aren't speaking about what they really want.
That's supposed to be fun. When she's like, oh, there's a bad case of sexual tension. What does that even mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah, sexual tension's fun. That's not bad.
That's not a thing. Then was I hardcore friend zoned?
I mean, it's only bad afterwards when you have the irritation.
It's
no,
got all,
just me.
That's I think it's friction. You sorry. Got you got to you do it differently though than I you know can facts. Relate.
Sorry,
but I will say it could be a thing. Were you hardcore friend zoned? No, you were not. Did our opposite paths make it too difficult to try to be serious?
Yes. Yeah, you yeah. You had something. Timing you things. Highlight?
Well, so she said she got a bit drunk and ended up calling him and reaming him out about all the games he's played and how unfair the back and forth has been. Right. So she says that spring he asked me to a party. I was on my internship, so I had to turn him down, and I thought that was the final nail. That summer, I was away with some friends, got drunk, and called him, reamed into him. That doesn't make any sense. No. That doesn't make any sense. And I think that, to me, is always the sign of when you really care about somebody and you're out, you haven't talked in a minute, whatever it is, that you're getting drunk and all of a sudden you're yelling and screaming at them.
Drunk words, sober thoughts.
You know, it's how it goes.
It really is. Girl, if I have a girl-to-girl advice, I don't know how long ago this email was, but you need to reach out to this guy and you just need to tell him how you feel. And if it's not reciprocated, move on.
Yeah.
End of the day.
To quote Jay-Z, on to the next, on to the next.
But he seems to be in like a, it seems to have traveled a number of years, this whole thing.
Two semesters.
So I think you say, look, dude, put up or shut up. And if like if every time I'm going to hit you up and whatever, you're going to be flirting with me, you either got to be down for the cause or you're not. And you got to understand the role that you might play in that situation. If you think he flirts with you every time you hit him up, that's not a friendship. So you got to decide whether or not you want to deal with that nonsense and put up with the fact that he's in a thing and you want to wait it out, okay? Or leave him alone.
But the whole point of flirtation is fun. Like, I love flirting with people. I'll flirt with the old lady at ShopRite. Like, I don't care. Like, that's the point of flirtatiousness. It's being fun. It's being kind of sexual in a way, but it's not really the end all. Like, I'm not pulling my dick out. That's not flirtation.
Flirtatiousness can come off as friendly, too.
Yeah.
And that's probably what she's confusing, because she's saying, we're friends. We're this. At the end of the day, girl, you want him.
Yeah.
You either go for it or you just move
on. When it comes to flirting, right? You always know when the sides are game and not whatever, okay?
Case in point. Is that game with a Y?
Game of Thrones. So I'll give you an example. I remember I got some pictures done, okay? And however many years ago it was, I guess however long.
Year and a half.
How I meet Chelsea.
I think if we're get talking some about
pictures,
we're,
so I get the pictures, here. Okay? And we're texting. Now, she had already gotten the check. She's like, hey, everything's in the Dropbox or whatever it is. It's cool. I'm like, hey, thanks. You're welcome. Like, awesome. Really great job.
But my Dropbox is empty.
Like, really great job. Oh, yeah. Thank you for saying that. No, you're welcome. Hope you have a great weekend. Yeah. And it was like,
that wasn't
what are
flirting.
You? No.
That you made it sound
no, but it was very
it
awkward.
It was way more flirting than that.
No,
he's
no.
making it sound so dull.
It was awkward at the beginning. It was awkward at the beginning. And
I
know
on his
Chelsea,
end.
You have
I know.
I want
to
see the receipts.
I haven't deleted any of your texts. I can go over to the beginning, but I'll tell you this much: it was very much like, oh yeah, no, like very like kind of professional esque, saying, oh no, everything was great, everything was awesome. Yeah, no, you have a great weekend. No, you have a great weekend. And then because I am my charming ass self, okay. I was like, no, so what are you up to this weekend? And then, like, an hour later, it was a wrap. Like, it became that kind of a conversation.
Fans, I know you love Albie, but that is not the way it went. I
no,
flirted
a
with
rap,
him first.
A rap meaning, it was a rap meaning. A
totally
rap,
flirted with
no, no,
him
no,
first.
No, not like it was a deal was closed. That's not what I mean. It was a rap meaning. It was completely a different tone of a conversation. Because it
you
was
had
very
decided
direct.
It was a different tone.
Yeah, it was a rap meaning like
in your head, you
the,
knew.
The
yeah.
business is done. We're on to the next thing. And we're clearly talking in a tone that is more flirtatious. And it was kind of initiated by Chels, which I got to be honest with you, I thought was more appropriate because of how we had met. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, you agree? You disagree? I don't know.
You just looked at your mic like you hit it wrong. So I was waiting for you to adjust.
Fine.
But at the end of the day, yeah, I mean, I was aggressive about it, but that's only because I just felt something, and you can't deny that. So for back to this girl's question, if you're feeling something, girl, just go for it. Yeah. Like, this is not a friendship. Reading everything you said, you would not put this much effort into writing an email about a friendship. you feel something, you go for it. If it's not reciprocated, then at the end of the day, you know it's not reciprocated.
And you did your best.
And you did your best. Yeah.
Gotta try.
I want to hear the next question.
We have another one.
Good.
We do have another
one. I want people to send in dick pics, titty pics, ass pics. And then we could review them.
Albie's on an important phone call. He looks hot when he's on a phone call.
Right? I love when Albie gets in consigliere mode.
He looks like when Chris feels bad when he comes home and he's like on a phone call, but I'm like,
no, it's kind of hot.
Fine, keep going.
Yeah, when Chris skitzes, it's kind of hot too. I don't know if you've ever seen Chris skitz out, his eyes bug out and he starts screaming. I love it. It's hot. And when Al gets like all consigliere, like he gets all like,
no, it like I don't know. It's business is it's exciting because I like to watch my man like be in that mode.
Yeah, like he's good at that.
Because work's work, and at the end of the day, like
I feel like people
you put in work here, you're putting in work everywhere.
Oh yeah.
Mm. Whoa. Anyway, dear Albie, I'm so glad you all have kept the show going through quarantine and hope you are staying safe. I'm writing today to get advice on what to do about my older sister. For the past 10 years, she has been living at home with my mom and siblings. They've moved around a lot, but no matter what, 4 out of the 5 of us, the siblings, have managed to cover all the household expenses. My oldest sister, however, hasn't worked in 10 years and continues to live at home with my 2 nieces. She has 2 other children and gave them up to live with their dad so she could be independent. My dad got her a job at his company where she met the current father of her children and got pregnant. She stopped working and hasn't worked since. The father of my nieces does not pay child support and is supposed to have them every weekend. However, he often forgets to pick them up. We're basically their father. My sister knows this and takes full advantage. We buy them school clothes, shoes, food, and everything else parents normally provide. We love them and are happy to do it. We just wish their parents weren't so used to it that they expect us to do it. About a year ago, we told my older sister it was time for her to move out, and we would give her the money for a security deposit, moving fees, and help her with her first 2 months' rent and utilities. She made no effort to look for an apartment and would shrug off any questions about moving. Recently, my mom was diagnosed with dementia and was told that she had an undiagnosed stroke 2 years prior. Her doctors reiterated that having peace is of the utmost importance for her in order to heal and get any semblance of normal back. When we found out about my mom's health, we spoke to her again and said it was more important than ever that her and my niece got a place of their own so everyone can have peace. She's been looking, but at a glacial pace. It has gotten so bad that we told her that if it came down to it, we'd help her pack, and she could stay at a friend's house. Her only response is that she will call the cops if anyone touches her things.
Damn, son.
My sister has told my mom privately that she wants to call the cops as a way of scaring us. We're all at our wits' end, and my mom is suffering the most. What should we do? Love the show and really appreciate any advice you can give. Thank you.
No name?
The show gets deep sometimes, Urbano.
You know what? I want to address this. Mm-hmm. I think if the number one concern really is your mother and you're saying that your sister is causing all the stress, maybe you and your other siblings kind of fighting with her is compounding the stress. And maybe by kind of changing her whole world, dementia is usually exacerbated by change. So by removing these people that she's used to may be kind of detrimental. So why not take the other approach and realize that maybe this sister that's a freeloader, right? Take it as a blessing that you can provide for this, you know, your niece, you can provide for this family that's not yours, and allow your mom the normalcy to continue in this environment that's comfortable for her. You right? No?
No, I agree with you 100%. I couldn't have said it better. I completely agree.
Yeah.
See, it's weird. I'm trying to read through this again to see like how is the reaction that you're having one of, is it the personal side of things talking where it's like, hey, my sister should be doing something and she's not.
Yeah.
And she's capable of doing something, but she isn't. And that's causing hardship for other people because that might be a horse of a different color. Like, for example, like
horse of a different color.
If people are struggling to pay the bills, whatever it is. And your sister lives there for 10 years and isn't contributing, that's one thing.
Yes.
You know, if not contributing out of necessity. If you're worried about it from a vanity standpoint, not so much a vanity standpoint, but an ego standpoint where I'm going to look at this and say, hey, look, you know, I think it would be nice that they're doing this. I think it's messed up that we do all these things for your kids. You know, I don't necessarily keep score when it comes to that.
No.
Like, there will be times where if I'm out to dinner with Lauren, no matter what the situation, I will always try and pick it up, even if I'm walking in and I see her there. Because I look at it and say, that's a dollar less that's going to my niece. Regardless of, like, the fact that she has a husband and all that other stuff. Like, to me, I'd almost look at it kind of the same way, except for, like, if we're all out, we're guys.
Yeah.
And the guys will take turns, whatever we'll do. But at the end of the day, like, you're not in a race against it. You're not keeping score against it. And I think when you are the siblings that keep score, that's a problem.
That's the problem.
However, if you're the sibling that is on the beneficiary end of that, okay, and it's taking it for a ride because you think everybody else is going to do what they have to do to kind of, you know, create that safety net on your end and support you, and that's going to now make you either less ambitious or more dependent on other people, then that's not okay either.
But maybe she's depressed. Like, maybe you have to kind of look at it from the other side. Maybe this older sister is at a place where you have to think it from her perspective. If she can't even provide for her family, you know, she looks to her siblings, whether it's spoken or unspoken, all she knows all these people are providing for her children, whether she admits it or not. The truth is the truth. You don't have to talk about it for it to be the truth. So maybe she has some issues. So be grateful that you can kind of allow her that. You know, and instead of pushing her out where she feels that she has to call the cops, maybe it's more, you know, we're glad we can do this for you and help her get some meaning and some purpose, because without meaning and purpose, she's just fucked.
It definitely will mess with you. I mean, I think, like, you know, there, because I'm reading through it again, and, you know, she clearly, you know, it has some challenges. She's not getting child support and all that other stuff, you know, but I mean, I think it comes down entirely to what her mom wants to do, and it's probably tough with the dementia.
Yeah, but she got dementia. You can't fuck with a person that has dementia.
Yeah,
like,
so, like, you're
not
really – so it's tough because I don't know that you're going to get – you maybe even talk to the doctor about this. It's probably the best way to handle it. Like,
probably.
What's – are you going to take the environment that she's in? If she's like, yeah, I want her to move out, that could also be a talk track that you've, like burnt into her subconscious from years of saying, hey, so-and-so is screwed up.
Or she knows it's contentious, so she's just saying that because she wants some kind of harmony within the family. But if, you know, you just kind of maybe you look at it towards maybe she's helping your mother. Maybe that kind of confusion, the kids, that energy is allowing her to kind of still exist.
Well, look, I'll tell you what the most bothersome line in this email is to me. My sister has told my mom privately that she wants to call the cops as a way of scaring us. If you're worried about your mom's mental health and her stress level, that is not.
No.
Even a little bit.
Least,
number one, your sister saying that to your mom is not smart.
No.
Number two, you putting your sister in the type of position
where
she feels like she's going to do that is messed up too. You got to have the adult conversation where that is just not, you know, not something she's willing to do. But it just, I don't know, to me, like, my gut instinct right now reading this is that it does feel like the oldest sister is taking advantage to whatever extent, but you know, that's a lot of kids. You know, that, like, two kids. I don't know the situation
there.
I think
there. It's four kids.
Well, four, but two living there.
Girl.
A lot of kids.
A lot of kids.
Dementia, too, it's something that's very intense.
Yeah.
You can't take that lightly.
No.
So at the end of the day, any sort of issues between the two siblings should not be interfering with what's going on with the mother. You need to figure out what's the best for the mother, because she's in a place that she doesn't even know she's in.
Yeah. And the fighting doesn't work. So if it hasn't worked, the fighting, turn it around.
Exactly.
Take a different approach.
Sometimes it's hard for people to, on either sides, to take the high road, to figure out what's best. Like, you know, people at the end of the day are going to feel what they feel. And no matter what's going on in life, dementia, any outside sources, like sibling rivalry sometimes or sibling arguments is just, it's bound to happen. So
at least she took the appropriate avenue and came to Dear Albie to
that's what I'm
discuss
saying.
Her issues.
You're clearly searching for help, which is good. I, honest to God, when it comes to this, really, I would look at this and say, when you're putting all of that effort into finding somebody a place and they're saying, oh, hey, I'm not looking there is either a confidence issue that they can't maintain that stuff on their own, or
fear. She knows she can't support her child. She knows she can't support her family.
And a real acknowledgement that she can't. And you don't want to put your sister in the type of place, by the way, okay, where you're going to put her in a spot where she ends up homeless because she can't support herself.
You're setting her up to fail.
So as long as she's not, you know, I would probably talk to the doctor about your mom and see, like, hey, is there a way to, what do you suggest? Is this the type of thing where if I'm going to yank somebody out that's a staple in her home for the last decade, is that going to mess her up worse?
Yeah.
Or is the day-to-day interaction so bad that it's a threat to your mom's health? And then if so, why? Is it because your mom is reacting to how your sister is behaving every single day?
Yeah.
Or is it because your mom is reacting to how you are kind of commenting on how your sister should act, but she's not, and that's stressing her out? You got to figure out where that source is coming from, and you know that to me is the only way to handle it.
You got to get off the hamster wheel.
That was really good advice.
Right. Thanks, Giles.
I couldn't have said it better. I agree with that. 100%.
Oh, and your hair looks so good. Well,
thanks, man. I like
this. You just got a haircut, guys.
It's super good.
I know he like posted recently, like first haircut from quarantine. Like he's got a really nice haircut right now.
I haven't
now.
Put a picture of my face up on the gram in a while.
Oh shit.
Yeah, he's very anti-gram lately, but minus the throwbacks. But I like that. You know. Yeah. You like to stay.
No, it's not that I'm anti. It's not that I'm anti. I just been very caught up.
Low key.
Mysterious. You got a lot going on. Mysterious. But I grew my hair out very long.
Looks very good though.
And now it's lort.
Yeah.
He used the word lort when he came home, and I was like, "What's baby? What's
that
mean?" Did you
sing that song, Royals?
Lort.
I love it.
Anyway, this was fun.
All right. Are we done?
Yeah, we're done. We're good.
There's no more questions?
Very good.
I think he's excited to go home because I promised him garlic bread.
You coming by? What do you want to do?
I don't know.
You can come back.
Stay in your room?
Yeah. By the way,
yeah, you're back.
Jules and or Urbano, because I want Jules to come down really bad.
I would like to meet
Jules. We have a two-bedroom, so please come down.
I mean, my room is available.
No, but that's always your room. But
yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, Jules, if you came down, like, that's your thing.
The first person to use your room.
Yeah.
My mother.
That's that's only acceptable. She should.
First person. Whoa. Yes. First person to sleep over.
Wow.
It was heavy. Big moment.
Yeah. She made the bed so nice in the morning too, which made me so happy. I was
kinda
like, I
love Caroline.
Oh, she's such a little saint.
Anyway, love you both. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having us.
And we will catch you guys later.
Yeah.
Love you all. Darryl@mailbag@gmail.com. We're gonna keep these things coming.
And hauntingasbury.com.
Yes. Yes, the haunting thing is going to be cool. We're going to do the live show.
We'll talk about our real goals. You have no idea what they have in store.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
I'm not a hype girl by any means, but right now I am. Because
we don't either.
It's going to be so sick.
It's going to be.
It's going to be so sick. You don't need it. It's going to be so cool.
It's going to be good.
So many ghosts.
We'll be headed up north soon. We're going to get some more. We're gonna end up blending the two teams a little bit too. Getting Urbano and Candace on the same show is going to be some shit.
Wow, yeah.
Urbano and Christine on the same show would be even bigger.
That'd be fun.
A lot of anal talk on that show.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Okay, we got to go. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.